And we're on the air in 5, 4, 3.
Wait, wait! Don't start the show without me! Ooh, that was a close one. Okay, Mr. Sound Guy, you can start the count again.
Who are you?
I'm Captain Bandicoot, the host of this show.
Nobody told me anything about a host.
It's right in my contract, wanna see?
That's okay, I believe you.
Alrighty then, young fella, let's start that count.
Are you sure?
Sure, I'm sure.
On the air in 5, 4, 3.
Hello, boys and girls, and welcome to our special superhero show. I'm Captain Bandicoot, your host for today's program. Some people think I'm a superhero, but my only power is sneezing. I got the world's most powerful sneeze, you know. It can blow feathers off a blue jay or bark off a tree. It can even knock the bark right out of a dog. Here, I'll show you. Better hang on to your hats. Oh, you're not wearing hats. Better hang on to your shirts. Heck, I don't have to sneeze right now. But on to our show. Oh, dear me. Dear me, I'm so sorry. If your shirt blew off just now, the ushers will collect it and return it to you. Just raise your hands. Anyway, some of you received a secret decoder when you came in. We're going to give those boys and girls a chance to win something special by decoding the secret message I'll give you after our first show. Those listening at home on the radio can also try to figure out the secret message on the wrappers of specially marked Fudgicle Ice Pops, those delicious and nutritious frozen treats that are flash frozen at the peak of their flavor. And speaking of Flash, it's time to introduce our first show, Flash Gordon, featuring that brave and handsome hero of interplanetary adventures. Yay!
Presenting for the first time on radio, the amazing interplanetary adventures of Flash Gordon and Dale Arden. These thrilling adventures come to you as depicted each Sunday in the Comic Weekly, the world's greatest pictorial supplement of humor and adventure. The Comic Weekly, now printed in 32 tabloid-sized pages, each page in full 4 colors, is distributed everywhere as part of your Hearst Sunday newspaper. Racing high above the Earth, comfortably seated in a giant airliner, Flash Gordon, internationally famous athlete, looks admiringly across the aisle at Dale Arden, the lovely young companion of his air voyage. The minds of both are intent on the terrible destruction which for many months has been approaching the Earth with terrific speed. The new planet, hurtling through space directly in the path of the Earth. Suddenly, there's a violent jar. The plane lurches into a spinning nosedive. Flash Gordon's trained muscles carry him across the aisle to the frightened girl, to gather her in his arms, then leap free of the falling plane, and pulling the ripcord of his parachute, glides to Earth.
Don't be frightened, Dale. The plane has crashed. We're safe.
Oh, yes. Thanks to you.
Hold fast. We're landing now. Oh. Careful. Easy. Oh. Are you all right, Dale?
Yes.
Good.
Oh, look, Flash. There's a large steel door. Oh, it's closing.
Why, that's the laboratory of the great scientist, Dr. Hans Zarkov. He's coming this way. I'll call him to help us out.
I hope you'll pardon us for breaking in on you so unceremoniously, Doctor, but you see, we had to bail out.
I see for what you are, spies, come to steal my secrets. But I have the answer for that. Come with me.
Put that gun away, Professor Zarkov. The man is mad, Dale. We'll have to humor him. All right, Professor. All right. We'll come with you.
Get down this ladder into this tunnel. Down, I tell you.
All right, all right.
Down here. We are in my rocket ship, and in 10 seconds we will be on our way to the new planet. We will all die. Die for science.
Oh, Flash, the doctor is mad. This rocket ship is breaking away from the Earth with the speed of light, right into the path of the new planet.
Hold tight, Dale. We'll escape somewhere.
To the new planet! The new planet! We tree will save the Earth!
Dr. Zarkov, there's still time to swing your rocket ship out of the path of the new planet.
Oh, no, no.
What will you gain for science if we're all killed in the crash?
I know who you are, Flash Gordon, the world's greatest athlete. But your trained strength will not save you. Only my mind, the mind of Zarkov, the scientist, can save you. Can save any human soul upon the Earth.
The turbo drive. He's reaching for the controls.
Stand aside, Dr. Zarkov.
Feel it. The gravitational pull of the new planet. We crash in 5 seconds.
The rocket ship hits the planet. Dr. Zarkov and Dale are thrown from the rocket ship unconscious. Flash is thrown clear of the wreckage and lands on his feet, uninjured. He rushes to the side of the unconscious girl, picks her up, and starts to carry her toward the distant towers of a city on this weird new planet. Suddenly, strange soldiers armed with ray guns appear, and capturing Dale and Flash, force them to come with them to the throne room of Ming the Merciless, Emperor of Mongo and supreme ruler of the universe.
O thou indulgent Ming, most merciless majesty of Mongo, supreme ruler of all the peoples of the new planet, thy slaves salute thee.
Good. Ming shall want the Earth people.
Thy slaves obey, O Ming the Merciless.
Get your hands off me! I'm no slave! I'll meet your emperor as a free man and an equal!
So, Earthman, you are a free man and my equal? Throw him to the red monkey men in the arena. I would be forced to make this free man my equal.
There is thy freedom, Earthman. Now you go into the arena to meet the red monkey men of Mongoid.
No!
Don't worry, dear. Emperor Ming, I will show you that I, a free man from the Earth, am more than a match for your brainless red monkey men.
Flash reaches the bottom step leading to the arena. He leaps and swings at the nearest red monkey man. Then, grasping the falling man-beast under the armpit, Flash whirls him around in a flail, knocking the others in all directions. Emperor Ming, fearing that his monkey men will all be killed, orders his soldiers to destroy Flash with their ray guns. In the midst of the confusion, Princess Aura, the beautiful young daughter of Emperor Ming, calls to Flash.
Quick, brave Earthman, here, this way, to my balcony.
Flash leaps to the royal balcony and joins the gorgeously jeweled princess, who commands the slaves to keep back, while she takes Flash through a secret door and into a passage leading to a private elevator. The two get in, and Aura closes the door and presses the switch.
Who are you, beautiful maiden?
I am the Princess Aura, only daughter of Ming the Merciless.
Princess, I owe you my life.
You are brave and handsome and strong. You must not end so young. I've never seen anyone like you, Earthman.
Where I come from, Princess, there are many stronger men and better looking. But tell me, Princess, where are you taking me?
I'm taking you to the private landing frame of my own rocket car. There you will be safe. We've arrived, Earthman. Get in this rocket car. No one can harm you here.
But, Princess, I don't...
Hurry! Hurry!
But, Princess Aura, how am I to rescue the Earth girl, Dale Arden?
That is why you're in my private rocket car, Earthman.
Why, what do you mean?
Dale Arden can never be rescued by you.
But, Princess,
As for you, Earthman, you shall love me or die!
Meanwhile, back in the palace, Emperor Ming is talking with Dale Arden.
Your companion, Flash Gordon, has escaped. But not for long. My men will soon capture him.
What are you going to do with me, Emperor Ming?
You are pleasing to me, Earthwoman. You will become my wife.
Never. I don't love you.
We men of Mongo have no such human traits. No love, no mercy, no kindness. Whether you love me or not makes no difference. You shall become my wife as soon as a ceremony can be arranged.
Your Majesty, look into the spaceograph. Our city is being bombarded by the space gyros of the Lion Men.
The Lion Men? Order the entire space fleet to attack!
In the terrific battle which takes place between Emperor Ming's space fleet and the gyros of the Lion Men, the attacking gyros are driven off. The rocket ship in which Flash Gordon has been held captive is destroyed, and Flash is thrown to the ground unconscious. He opens his eyes to find himself staring into the great bearded face of Zoon, Prince of the Lion Men. Zoon lets his great sword fall as he sees Flash Gordon's white skin.
Who art thou, white-skinned youth? Speak! Answer me before I cleave thy white body in pieces! Art thou a new kind of soldier of Ming the Merciless?
I am the sworn enemy of that fiend, Emperor Ming of Mongo. He has captured a girl who is from the Earth, like myself. I live only to rescue her.
An Earthman, thou sayest?
Yes.
And an enemy of Ming the Merciless?
That's right. Tell me, are you friend or enemy?
I am Zoon, Prince of the Lion Men, hereditary enemies of the men of Mongo. If thou would accept me as thy friend, Earthman, I will gladly join thee against Ming the Merciless.
Here's my hand on it then, Prince Zoon.
Good! What is thy name, Earthman?
I am called Flash Gordon upon the Earth, Your Highness.
Call me Zoon, friend. And I will call thee Flash.
Friend Zoon, do you know how we can gain admittance to the palace that we may rescue Dale Arden?
Come, I will show thee a secret way into the palace.
Good.
The Emperor Ming is away pursuing my gyro fleet. We may be able to rescue the Earth Girl before Ming's return.
Flash Gordon and his powerful newfound friend go first to the space gyro of Prince Zoon, and there they gaze intently into the thought projector, in which they not only see Dale Arden captive, but they have revealed to them a secret way leading into the throne room of the palace. The secret passage is known as the Tunnel of Terror. Because of the deadly beasts which lie within its gloomy walls, fighting each step of the way, Flash and his new friend Prince Zoon finally find themselves within the palace. A door with great steel bolts stands before them.
Quick, Zoon! This door must lead directly to the center of the palace.
From my memory of the palace, I should say that beyond this door,
is the great throne room of Emperor Ming.
All right, then. Here we go. Ah, there. You're right, Zoon. It is the throne room.
Yes. This great statue before us is the god of death, which stands atop the altar steps, directly behind the throne of the Emperor.
Listen. Zoon, what's that?
By the great god Pao! It is the royal wedding procession. Ming the Merciless is taking another bride.
Long live Ming the Merciless.
He's coming up the altar steps, Zoon. I'm going to look around the idol.
To look around the idol means death. Thou must not. Come back! Come back, Flash!
Zoon, save yourself! I'm going to the rescue of my Earth friend, Dale Erden. She's being forced into a marriage with Ming the Merciless.
Prince Zoon of the Lion Men does not save himself at the expense of his friends. If thou must die, I will die fighting with thee.
Dale! This way, Dale!
After them!
This way, Dale!
Down this passage, Earthling! And as fast as thou canst run, quick you!
They're swarming up the altar steps. Help me topple the idol over on them. Now! One, two, three!
With a great grinding crash, the giant idol topples over on the onrushing soldiers of Ming the Merciless, killing those in front and throwing into confusion the whole company. Flash Gordon and Prince Zoon, with Dale between them, dash into a secret passage beneath the idol. The way becomes steeper. They slip and fall down, down, 100 feet or more into a whirling underground river. They're swept along down a raging current and over a falls into a lake. With the powerful strokes of a champion swimmer, Flash sets out for the shore, towing Dale by the hair. They reach the shore, and as Flash reaches down to drag Dale to safety,
Flash, no!
She screams and disappears beneath the calm surface of the lake, clutched in two powerful green scaly arms. With no thought of his own safety, Flash Gordon dives to Dale's rescue and finds an adventure stranger than any which has gone before.
All right, boys and girls, I hope you enjoyed that thrilling adventure. Stay tuned next week for the next installment of our exciting story. And now it's time to give you the secret message so you can all use your secret decoders to find out what Captain Bandicoot wants to tell you. Use your secret decoders to send important messages to friends. Grown-ups will never be able to figure out what you're saying. Set your decoders to A10. Ready? Here we go. 8, 24, 4, 17, 14, 10, 1, 13, 18, 3, 17, 14, 1, 14, 15, 18, 1, 2, and 3. All right, boys and girls, we'll check with you later to see if you decoded the secret message.
Excuse me, Captain Bandicoot.
Who's that?
It's me, in the booth. I don't know if you noticed, but there aren't a lot of kids in the audience. It's not really supposed to be a kids' show.
No kids?
Not many, no.
But they were enjoying the show.
They're old, some of them.
Well, that boy with the gray toupee does seem kind of mature. Well, boys and girls, I've just been told you aren't boys and girls at all, that you're mostly grown-ups. How embarrassing. Well, forget what I said about grown-ups not understanding the secret message. It seems the director wants to do a more grown-up type program. Well, that's okay, because we've got one for you. And now, I am no longer Captain Bandicoot, but Mr. Mysterium.
Welcome to the world of mystery, where the mind is more powerful than the body.
That's more like it. Thanks.
You're welcome. Our next show is very well known to you grown-ups, featuring a superhero that has the power to appear and disappear, not through magic, but through the power of the mind. You may think you know who this mystery man is, but only the shadow knows.
Who knows what evil lurks in the hearts of men? The shadow knows.
The Shadow, Lamont Cranston, a man of wealth, a student of science, and a master of other people's minds, devotes his life to righting wrongs, protecting the innocent, and punishing the guilty. Using advanced methods that may ultimately become available to all law enforcement agencies, Cranston is known to the underworld as The Shadow. Never seen, only heard. As haunting to superstitious minds as a ghost. As inevitable as a guilty conscience. The identity of the Shadow is known only to his intimate friend and aide, Margot Lane. Today's story, The Blind Beggar Dies.
There are smiles that make us happy. There are smiles.
Evening, singing Jim. Chilly tonight, isn't it?
Indeed it is. Thank you, sir. There are smiles that make...
Hello, Jim. Wish me luck tonight. I'm going out with a new boyfriend. He's awful nice.
All the luck in the world to you, miss. Thank you. There are smiles that make us happy.
Well, well, well. If it isn't singing Jim, holding down the same corner after we told him to pay protection or move.
Yeah, he don't pay off and he don't scare.
I don't make enough to keep body and soul together. Now you go away. Let me alone.
Oh, so you're going to try to buck our record, huh? All right, Marty, bring him back in the alley.
Now, wait.
That way, maybe we can make him see things our way.
Now, take your hands off of me. You let me alone.
Come on, Pop. We just want to talk to you for a minute. We got a proposition for you.
But now I told you I don't need protection. I have a license because I'm blind. Please don't bother me none.
Bring him back over here, Marty. This looks private enough.
Now, wait. No, please.
Okay, Spike.
Take it easy on that blackjack.
Please, wait. I'm an old man.
Shut up and hold your mitt over his mouth. Don't let him squirm.
Okay, I got him.
Okay?
I'm an old man. I can't stand it. I haven't any money to pay you, I tell you.
All right, give him the once over.
Right.
And listen, singing Jim, next time you fork over a buck a week, or you'll get the worst.
Ooh.
Okay, Marty, dump him over the wall there and let's go.
Look at that crowd gathering, Lamont.
Yes.
Isn't it amazing how any little thing can get a crowd together?
Yes. Sometimes those little things turn out to be big things, Margot.
That's just Lamont Cranston, the amateur criminologist, coming to the fore.
Oh, look, they're trying to get into that alleyway. Somebody's hurt, probably.
Oh, yes.
All right, move on. Move on now, everybody move. Move on. Make room for the ambulance. Oh, good evening to you, Mr. Cranston.
What's wrong, Clancy?
Oh, it's poor old Singin' Jim. Somebody found Boyo in the alley all smashed up. Looked like a truck run him over. All right, out of the way. Move on now, move on!
Oh no, poor Jim. Lamont, look at his face and head. He doesn't look like he's been run over.
No, don't hit me. I can't take it, I can't pay. I can't, please stop it.
Okay, straight to the hospital and make it fast. This old boy's in a bad way.
Lamont, somebody beat him up. But who'd do a thing like that, and why?
I don't know, Margot. I've known Singing Jim for years.
So have I. Everybody knows him and helps him out.
Margot, he looked pretty bad. I think I'll go to the hospital and see what I can do for him. There's more to this than meets the eye. Want to come along?
Yes, Lamont. I hope we're not too late.
Of course you can see Singing Jim, Mr. Cranston.
How is he, Doctor?
Triple concussion. Looks pretty hopeless.
Poor old Jim.
How did this happen?
Well, the police report listed as a hit-and-run case. In my opinion, he was beaten with some sort of blunt instrument. A piece of pipe or a blackjack. He's right in here.
No. Oh, no, don't hit me. I'm an old man. No, please don't hit me.
I'm afraid you won't get much out of him, but you can try.
Please stop.
I'll be back in a few minutes.
Thanks, Doctor.
Oh, I can't pay. I need protection.
Now, Singing Jim. Jim, it's Lamont Cranston. I've come to help you. And Miss Lane is here, too. You remember her.
Hello, Jim. What happened? Who did this to you?
Oh, keep away from me. Let me go. Don't hit me again. No,
I'm afraid he's delirious, Margot.
No.
Jim, listen. We're not going to hurt you. You're safe now. Who hit you? Why did they do it, Jim?
Oh, they told me I had to pay $1 a week or they'd give my corner to somebody else. Some phony that knew how to mooch enough to pay for protection. No, don't hit me!
Jim!
Oh, Lamont, that can't be true. Nobody could be as low as to try to make a racket out of begging, organize them and make them pay tribute.
It is hard to believe, Margot, but there must be something to it. Wait a minute. Jim, listen to me. Who did this? Who's been trying to make you pay money to them?
No, don't hit me, Spike. Let go of me, Marty. I can't pay. Apple Mary can't pay either. You took Apple Mary's stand. Now you're trying to take mine. Don't hit me again! Don't!
I'd better get the doctor. He's unconscious.
Yes, Margot. But I'm afraid it's more than that.
What?
I'm afraid Singing Jim has sung his last ballad.
What? You mean...
Yes, Margot. Singing Jim is dead.
Folks, I guess y'all kind of wondering why the word went out over the Beggar's Grapevine for us to meet here at my place. Maybe you ain't. Anyway, Apple Mary's got something to say to us.
Thanks, Lame Bill. Thanks, folks. I guess by this time you've all heard. That poor old singing Jim is dead. Yeah. And I guess you know why he's dead.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a shame.
Now, don't get the idea that I've asked you all here to fight these here scurvy rats that pulled Jim into the alley and beat him to death. I ain't asking that.
Can't expect no help from the police, Mary. Now, you know that.
Yes. We tried that, and they just laugh at the idea of anybody trying to make us pay for the right to make a living on the streets the only way we know how. Selling apples like I do, singing like Jim did, or selling pencils and shoelaces like Lame Bill here. No, we can't expect no help from the police.
Yeah, but why don't they get the guys that murdered old Jim?
They're investigating it, so they say.
Yeah, but what are we going to do, Mary? Jim's death was just a warning to the rest of us. It means pay up or get the same.
Yeah, that's what it means, Mary.
No, it don't, because something's happened. Somebody's going to help us what can't help ourselves.
Now, who is it, Mary?
Now, before I tell you, I want to remind you, I'm not a drinking woman, and I ain't given to hearing things, and I ain't easy convinced. But last night, late, somebody talked to me at my stand. Somebody that you've all heard of. Somebody that you, that have got your eyesight, don't believe in. Because nobody's ever seen him.
Who was it, Mary?
The Shadow.
Oh. He wouldn't bother trying to help folks like us, Mary.
Oh, you're wrong. Because he asked me to call all you folks together, he promised he'd come here tonight and tell us how he can help us.
Well, when's he coming? Why isn't he here?
I am here.
Why? Where'd that laugh come from?
Sounds like it came from right behind Mary.
No, it came from back in that corner.
Wait. Don't be frightened. I am the Shadow. I've come here to help you. If you'll accept my unseen presence without question. Without fear.
Yeah, that's right. We got no reason to be scared of the Shadow. We ain't done nothing wrong.
Yeah, we ought to be glad he's willing to help us out, to protect us from guys like Spike and Marty. Maybe he can help us figure out who those guys are.
Now, wait a minute, all of you. I've told the Shadow all I know about Spike and Marty, all any of us knows. Now you listen to what he wants us to do.
You are the victims of the meanest racket in the world. The Shadow will help you, if you are willing to help yourselves. I have reason to believe that one among you is a spy. An informer.
Why? Where is he? Point him out!
No. Sooner or later, he will betray himself. There are too many of you for me to single out the one hostile mind in this room.
What do you want us to do, Shadow?
We'll do anything you say.
Go on doing as you've been doing. When these men approach you again, pay them, or promise payment. And then go to the west wall of the National Armory and make your sign of distress in white chalk, using the symbols you use in communicating with one another. The Shadow will understand them and come to your aid. As for the informer in your midst, let him take this warning to the petty racketeers he serves. If one more cent of tribute is levied, if they so much as lay a hand upon one of you, they will answer to the Shadow with their lives.
Yeah, who's there? Is that you, Marty?
Yeah, it's me, Spike.
What took you so long? Say, you look like the real McCoy with those smoked glasses and that crutch.
I used to make a living playing this blind and lame gag until you showed me how to make some easy money.
Well, what happened at that meeting at Lame Bill's place?
Plenty.
You look like you seen a ghost.
No, I ain't seen no ghost, Spike.
Well, what then?
I heard something tonight that I don't want to hear again. The voice of a guy you couldn't see. He was right there talking to us.
Ah, you've been hearing things.
Nah, it's the truth, I tell you. You've heard about this guy they call the Shadow, haven't you?
Yeah, I heard about him, all right. So what?
He was at that meeting. That's why Apple Mary called it. The Shadow got the whole story out of her, how we've worked this racket, and now he's out to get us.
How's he gonna do it?
He's got it all fixed for the beggars to put their distress signs on the wall of the National Armory the first time we try to collect any more dough.
You say the Shadow got all the dope from Apple Mary?
Yeah, I tell you, we gotta lay off.
And kiss all that money we get from the beggars goodbye, not on your life.
Yeah, but Spike, the Shadow's poison. He's caught plenty of big shots with dough and their gangs. What chance have we got against a guy like that?
Listen up, punk. You're all the gang I got, and I ain't letting the big dough go. But I'm plenty smart, and I got an idea how to get rid of this Shadow.
All right. Hey, how you gonna
gonna do it?
Listen, all we gotta do is get hold of Apple Mary. Bring her up here to the hideout, keep her here.
Yeah, and get the Shadow plumb on our tails.
That's just what I want. And to be sure he does get here, you're gonna chalk a message on the armory wall. You know the signs they use.
Yeah, I know them. But supposing you do get Apple Mary here, and the Shadow comes after her, then what?
Then he's gonna walk into the sweetest little trap you ever saw sprung.
But you can't see the guy.
I don't have to see him. All I have to do is hear him talk or laugh the way they say he always does.
All right, Spike. Okay. I hope you know what you're doing.
I ain't giving you a bad steer yet, have I? We'll grab Apple Mary tonight and bring her down here.
But why did you want to drive past the National Armory, Lamont?
I'm looking for handwriting on the wall, Margot.
What do you mean?
The Shadow made arrangements with Apple Mary and her friends to communicate with them. That way those racketeers try any more strong-arm tactics.
Do you think they will?
Yes. There's a reckless bravado about a petty criminal that you won't find in big-time crooks.
And they're just as dangerous. Don't forget that, Lamont.
I'm not forgetting it for a minute, Margot. There's a saying. Little snakes are more deadly than the big ones. Stop the car, Margot. Here's the armory.
What is it, Lamont?
There's writing on the wall. It may be what I'm looking for.
Do you mean those chalk marks, those crosses and circles and numbers?
Yes, yes. It's a message from Apple Mary. She needs help. She's waiting for the Shadow in the basement of 19 River Street.
I'll drive you there, Lamont.
All right, Margot, but not all the way. Stop a block from that address and let me out.
Very well, Lamont. Shall I wait for you?
Yes, Margot. Wait half an hour. If I'm not back by then, notify the police to raid that house.
But why, Lamont? What makes you feel...
I don't think Apple Mary sent that message, Margot. I have a feeling the Shadow is being invited to walk into a trap.
Sit tight, ladies and gentlemen. The Shadow still has plenty of thrills coming.
Extra, extra! Car crashes this weekend and skidding accident.
Yes, the Shadow knows there's hardly a driver who has not experienced that sickening, paralyzing, pit-in-the-stomach feeling that comes when his car skids wildly over a wet, slippery highway.
Is it worth the risk, motorists? Especially when you can now get a tire that will stop you quicker and safer on wet roads than you've ever stopped before. A tire that will put real blowout protection between your car and the road. And this new Goodrich Safety Silvertown with the Lifesaver Tread Skid Protection and Golden Ply Blowout Protection costs nothing extra. It's one of the best safety investments you can make. So play safe. Equip your car with these life-saving Goodrich, spelled G-O-O-D-R-I-C-H. Goodrich Safety Silvertown Tires, before it's too late.
That you, Marty?
Yeah, it's me. Where are you? How about some light?
Okay, I just wanted to be sure.
Hey, what's the idea with sitting down here in the dark? Hey, what are you doing with that Tommy gun?
When the Shadow comes here looking for Apple Mary, I'm going to spray this room with lead from floor to ceiling. It won't matter if I can't see him. I can't miss.
I put that message on the armory wall.
How long ago?
About an hour?
Then he'll be here soon. That guy moves fast from what I hear.
Hey, how are you going to know when the Shadow gets here? What if he don't talk or laugh?
He's got to open that door, ain't he? He can't walk through it. He ain't a ghost.
He comes as close to being a ghost as anything I ever went up against. How's he do it? I mean, how's he keep you from seeing him?
Yeah, by hypnotism, whatever that is.
Yeah? I know a guy in the circus that could do that. Leastwise, he claimed he could.
And... Ah, shut up. Go and get Apple Mary in here. She's in that back room.
Okay. Hey, you. Apple Mary. Come on out here.
I'm coming, and don't think I'm scared of the scum of the earth like you two.
Pipe down.
What do you want with me?
Bring her over here and shove her in this chair.
You heard him. Come
on. Take your hands off me. I might be old and blind, but I take no guiding from scavengers.
Take that cane away from her. She might get free with it.
Give me that stick.
I'll give it to you. Here, take it.
Ow! Why, you she-devil?
Put her in that chair and hold her there. Got your knife?
Come on. Sit down there. Yeah, I got my knife.
Get it out. She tries anything when the Shadow shows up, let her have it. Right between the shoulders.
Okay. If you know what's good for you, you'll sit still, Mary.
So you know about the Shadow. So you know he's after you. There was a squealer at the meeting.
Ha! That was no squealer. That was me. And we're expecting your pal the Shadow most any time now. I put a little message from you on the armory wall telling him to come here.
Yeah, just wait till that door swings open. That's the only way he can get in or out.
If this Shadow guy's got a gun and starts blazing away, you'll get yours, Mary.
The Shadow doesn't need a gun.
Shut her up, Marty. I just heard the basement door close.
Hey, somebody's in the hall, Spike.
Shut up. Watch that old dame. She opens her mouth. Let her have it.
Right. You got that Tommy gun ready?
Yeah.
Spikey's here. The Shadow's here. Do something. Shoot him. Kill him.
I ain't sure. I gotta be sure.
There's only one certainty in life.
And that is death.
It's him! It's him! Shoot! Shoot! Hey, Spike! Spike, you shot out the lights!
Yeah. Yeah, but I got him. I got the shadow. Come on, let's get out of here.
Yeah, but what about Apple Mary?
We haven't got time to fuss with a blind dame. Now listen, Apple Mary. Get out and tell your friends we'll be seeing them. Tell them the shadow's dead. Tell them if we got any more trouble making collections, they'll get what Singin' Jim and the shadow got. Tell them that for us. Come on, Marty, let's go.
The shadow's dead. Who can we look to for help now?
You can still count on the shadow, Apple Mary.
Oh! Shadow, they didn't kill you? They didn't hit you?
No, Mary. I suspected a trap. So after I opened the door, I walked across the room and stood behind them.
But your voice! It came from near the door.
Ventriloquism. A simple trick of projecting the voice. But that doesn't matter now. Get out of here and hurry to Lame Bill's. Gather your friends together and wait there for word from me. The shadow.
Margot, Margot.
Oh, there you are, Lamont. I was beginning to get worried. The half hour's almost up. What happened?
I'll tell you later. Quick, start the car. See those two men hurrying down the street?
That tall one and the short, heavy one.
Yes, follow them, but be careful. Don't get too close.
Who are they? Where are they going?
They murdered Singing Jim. They tried to murder the shadow. We'll find out where they go, Margot, and then I'll telephone Commissioner Weston to surround the place.
Shadow left word with Apple Mary. She wants us at Dugan's Pool Hall.
Dugan's Pool Hall. The shadows tracked down Spike and Marty.
Apple Mary and Lame Bill want us at Dugan's Pool Hall.
Hey, Limpy, Dugan's Pool Hall right away. Mary said so.
What's the matter with you, Marty? I thought you could play pool. You missed that shot a mile.
I can't keep my mind on the game. Can't stop thinking about that.
Pipe down. Everything's okay, I tell you. I got the shadow. I couldn't have missed. You heard him fall, didn't you?
Yeah, but
nothing. We got nothing to worry about, I tell you. The shadow's out of the way. We got it fixed with Dugan here for an alibi. We've been here all evening, see? Here comes Dugan now.
Hey, Spike, Marty. Something going on around here I don't like. I know I told you I'd frame an alibi for you, but I don't want no trouble. I don't want my place closed up.
What's the matter with you? What's going on?
It's that bunch you've been working your new racket on. Apple Mary, Lame Bill, Limpy, the whole lot of them.
What? Where are they?
They're out in the street. 20 or 30 of them, and more coming every minute.
Yeah? Who tipped them off we was here? Is this a double cross, Dugan?
No. Honest. Somebody must have tailed you here. I mean, listen to them.
Hey, Spike. They come after us. Come on, let's get out of here.
Yeah, maybe we better. They tear us to pieces the minute they got their hands on us.
You guys better slip out that back door there. It leads into the alley. The crowd may be lame and blind, but I don't give much for your chances if they get a hold of you.
Come on, Spike. Let's go, will you?
Yeah, okay, let's scram. We'll get these monkeys tomorrow, one by one. I'll teach you to try to gang up on us. Come on, Marty, come on.
Hey, Spike, wait, look! Down the alley there.
Holy cat, cops!
Yeah.
Half a dozen of them.
We can't go that way, Spike. They're laying for us.
Hey, Dugan, you got any other way out of here? How about upstairs and over the roof?
Nah, that door to the hole's been nailed up for years. It's either the alley or the front way.
Hey, Spike, that bunch out in the street sound like they're coming in.
Yeah, we're like a couple of rats in a trap.
What are you going to do, Spike?
The shadow. Spike, did you hear that? It's the shadow. You didn't get him. He ain't dead.
No. No, you will not go to the electric chair for the murder of the shadow.
Well, so you got away. Well, then the cops ain't got nothing on us now. Yeah, come on, Marty. We'll go out through the alley and let the cops pick us up. They can't hold us more than 24 hours.
Wait. You've forgotten the murder of Singing Jim.
You can't pin that on us. Are the doors locked?
Yeah, and the key's gone, Spike.
Yes, I locked that door, Spike. I have the key. But the front door is unlocked. You can walk out that door. Singing Jim's friends are out there waiting for you.
Spike, what are we gonna do?
They're the lame and the crippled and the blind. But there's strength in their numbers. The strength of a long-suffering fury that means your death. If they get their hands on you.
What do you want, Shadow? What's your game?
I want your confession to the murder of Singing Jim.
Yeah? If we confess, will you keep that mob away from us?
I ain't confessing to nothing. I ain't writing myself a one-way ticket to the death house.
It's your choice. A chance before a legal jury. Or that mob. Quick!
Stop him! Stop him, Shadow! I'll confess. Yeah, we killed Singin' Jim. It was Spike. He slung him in that alley. Yeah.
Why, you dirty squealer?
Don't move, Spike. One false move, these tormented people will kill you. Mary! Lame Bill, wait! Wait, everybody! This is your last chance. There's a blackboard behind you, Spike. There's a piece of chalk. Write your confession to the murder of Singing Jim and sign it. Write what I dictate to you.
You win, Shadow.
We, Spike Grogan and Marty Nelson.
We, Spike Grogan.
Confess.
And Marty Nelson.
That on Tuesday night at 5 o'clock.
Confess that on Tuesday night.
We did willfully beat Singing Jim.
We did.
To death.
Willfully beat.
With a blackjack.
Singing Jim to death with a blackjack.
Sign it. Now you, Marty.
Okay.
There. Now what, Shadow?
Walk to that back door. Open it. Call to the police in the alley. Tell them to come and get you.
But it's locked. You locked it and took the key.
I unlocked it again. Go with Spike Grogan, Marty. Beyond that door, a blindfolded woman with a sword in one hand and finely balanced scales in the other waits for you. You've mocked her long enough, but she's patient, because her name is Justice, and her revenge for your mockery will be death.
You have been listening to a dramatized version of one of the many copyrighted stories which appear in the Shadow magazine.
The weed of crime bears bitter fruit. Crime does not pay. The Shadow knows.
That's right. The Shadow knows. Look around. He could be standing right next to you. So you'd better watch out.
Can I interrupt for just a minute?
Who's there?
I heard a voice. Where are you, Shadow?
Up in the sound booth, remember?
Oh, it's only you, Mr. Sound Booth Man. What do you want? Can't you see we're in the middle of a very serious show?
Well, that's what I wanted to tell you. It seems the director says the audience really liked the first show, the kids' one, you know? They want to hear another one like that one.
Oh, why don't they make up their minds?
Sorry.
Very well, then.
Hey there, boys and girls! You say you want to hear more exciting adventures with a superhero? Well, here's one, a super duper, the superest of all the superheroes, and we know you're going to love him, Superman! But before you hear that exciting adventure, let's bring up our all-American fudgicle boy to tell you all about that favorite treat for kids of all ages.
Hello, everybody. I sure am glad to meet you. And boy, am I glad I was picked to be the typical American boy, because now I'm Popsicle Pete. I always wanted to be on the radio, and now I have a chance to tell you about some wonderful presents you can get free. Gee, you ought to see them. Hundreds of them. You get them just for saving bags from nifty popsicles, fudgicles, and creamsicles. Some gifts. Even better than Christmas. You can get a wristwatch, a movie camera, table tennis, a wallet, a doll. Gee, lots of gifts. Just save the bags from popsicles, fudgicles, and creamsicles on a handy stick. Boy, do they taste good.
Wholesome, too, and nourishing. Made fresh every day of the finest ingredients. The biggest 5 cents worth anywhere.
And say, kids, get the free illustrated popsicle gift list at your ice cream store. A free coupon comes with it, worth 10 bags.
And now, without further ado, we present Superman!
Up in the sky! Look!
It's a bird!
It's a plane!
It's Superman!
And now, Superman, amazing figure from another world with powers and abilities never before realized by mortal men. When we last saw Superman in his disguise as young Clark Kent, reporter for the Daily Planet, he and his editor, Perry White, had just received a warning telephone message from a mysterious voice which identified itself as the Yellow Mask. In exactly 24 hours, said the mask, the Daily Planet would be blown to 1,000 fragments. Horror-stricken, Kent and his chief stared at each other in the humming office. Then pandemonium. Sirens wailed in the streets. Police searched the building for bombs. Today, as our story opens, we find ourselves far from the doomed offices of the Daily Planet. Dr. Ingrid Stahlgren shows an unexpected visitor about her laboratory, explaining its wonders, and also explaining her latest invention. Listen.
Please, please, do not touch that window frame.
So, is it not clean? It looks clean.
Oh, yes, it's quite clean, but it is wired. It carries a powerful electric charge.
Most interesting. Are you also experimenting with electricity, Dr. Dogland?
You have come to see my latest discovery, have you not, Professor Schmidt?
Indeed.
And so have others. You are not the first. Others would not only like to see it, but gain possession of it.
No, I cannot believe it.
Oh, it's quite true, I assure you. For weeks past, ever since word got out of what I was doing, I've been annoyed, even threatened.
Threatened, Dr. Dogland? By whom?
I don't know. Queer voices over the telephone, mysterious visitors in the dead of night. Yes, that is why I had the laboratory wired.
But what do they want?
Why, they want my invention. They realize that whoever owns it controls a practically unlimited power.
Unlimited power? Is that true?
Certainly, Professor Schmidt. Unlimited power for destruction, which is why I am determined to keep the discovery a closely guarded secret. In the world today, my friend, there is destruction enough. Men are at one another's throats like dogs gone mad. No, I will never be a party to war and bloodshed. But come, I waste time. Into this room, Professor. Don't brush against the metalwork. There it is, on the table, Professor.
That's the machine? So small.
My latest development. Small, light, compact, but deadly. Now then, please stand exactly where you are and watch closely what happens to the glass on the edge of the table. Watch.
It's amazing. The glass was shattered.
Now, watch the small steel ball.
Why, it's gone.
Vanished, blown into atomic dust.
Then it's true. I didn't believe it, but it's true.
Certainly it's true. Based on the power of atomic force. Everything in the universe has a certain vibration point, Professor Schmidt, and my machine focuses a beam of vibrating infra-gamma rays wherever I choose to direct it.
And then?
Well, any object in the path of the beam begins to vibrate. At a certain point, depending on the object, atomic force is overcome, and the object simply disappears. Explodes, if you like, into nothing.
Doctor, you say any object?
Any object whatsoever, at distances up to a mile.
Unbelievable, my dear doctor. Let me be the first to congratulate you.
Oh, thank you, thank you.
You have done me a great service, doctor. You have placed in my hands an instrument of destruction that will at last give me what I've been seeking. Absolute control of the world and every living thing in it.
What? What do you mean?
You have been horribly misled, Dr. Dahlgren. I am not Professor Schmidt of Hawthorne University. Mere men who work under me know me by quite another name. I am destined to become supreme ruler of the universe. And with this deadly machine.
Get out of my laboratory. Get out before I do something.
You won't do anything, Doctor. Not if you value your life. This gun I hold in my hand is fully loaded, I assure you. Take care.
You're mad, utterly mad. How far do you think you'll get with that machine? The police will be on
your
tail.
Beyond the reach of the police, I assure you. I have laid my plans with great care, Doctor. First, I shall destroy the building which houses one of your great newspapers, because a reporter on that paper foiled my plans in the West and succeeded in jailing two of my men. When that is done, I will go about the task of creating for myself the position I rightfully deserve. Emperor of the world! And now, I must go.
Put that machine down. Put it down, I tell you. Michael, stop him!
Ah, no, Doctor. No living thing can stop me now. Goodbye, Doctor!
Don't let him get away! Michael!
Doctor, what's happened?
Go catch him, Michael, catch him!
Doctor, what's the matter? You're pale.
He got away with the atomic beam, Michael. Do you know what this means? That lunatic, he has in his hands the power of life and death. He's a walking symbol of death.
Where is Clark Kent? The minute he gets back, send him in.
Here I am, Mr. White.
Oh, Kent. Kent, where have you been?
Down in the cellar, helping the police.
Turn up anything? Any sign of a bomb?
Not a thing, Mr. White. We combed the building from top to bottom. Anything turn up here?
No, not so far. What's the time?
It's 4:00. That fellow really meant business. We've only got about 2 hours to go.
Call in your office, Mr. White.
Oh, thanks, Lois. Oh, by the way, Kent, I don't think you know Miss Lane. Lois, this is Clark Kent.
Oh, how do you do?
How do you do?
You wait here till I get back, Kent. I won't be a minute.
The boy wonder, huh?
Why, Miss Lane, what do you mean?
They tell me you talked yourself into a job, went out west, and came back with the biggest story of the month, all in less than a week.
Well, I guess I was pretty lucky.
I'll say you were lucky. Now you're the white-haired boy, huh?
I'm afraid I don't quite understand.
Got the old man hypnotized. He thinks you're Horace Greeley.
I'm afraid I don't understand.
Oh, don't act so dumb. All this nonsense about a time bomb in the cellar. What's the big idea?
Miss Lane, I only wish I knew.
You mean to tell me you didn't make it up out of your head?
I certainly did not.
I don't believe it. Well, now what's the matter?
Listen, don't you hear something?
Well, I hear the presses in the basement.
No, no, outside. Pardon me a minute. Come to the window. Now, don't you hear anything?
What do you think you hear?
A plane. There's a plane out there, flying low.
Well, I'll be... Now, look, Mr. Kent, this is a big town. You'll find quite a few planes flying around here all day and all night. If it bothers you, you'd better go back to the farm.
No, no, really, I mean it.
Yes, really, I mean it, too. Tell the old man about your big discovery. Here he comes now.
Well, anything new?
Yes, your star reporter heard a plane.
It was flying pretty low, Mr. White.
Well, what of it? Oh, I've got a job for you, Lois.
Yeah, a good job?
No. Go out and interview a scientist, human interest stuff.
Who and where?
Her name is Dr. Dahlgren. Got her own laboratory out on Haven Avenue. Look the number up in the book.
Who is she, Mr. White?
What's on her mind?
Leading American investigator in the field of atomic energy.
Must we, Chief?
Yeah, come on. Get going, Lois. Get going. This paper's always been tied in with science. We've been after Dahlgren for a long time, and now she comes to us.
Why?
Well, she said somebody stole a new machine she invented. I couldn't make much sense out of it, but she seemed pretty worried. Wanted me to rush her story into print.
Well, what's the matter with the police?
I suggested that, but she said she needed more than the police. Sounds cracked, but it may make a yarn. On your way, girlie.
Oh, all right. If you say so, Mr. White, I'll get right out there. So long, Mr. Star Reporter.
You come with me, Kent. Into the office. I can't stand much more of this.
I know, Mr. White. It's nerve-wracking, this yellow mask business.
Worse than that, I don't know whether to believe it or not.
If we only could get a lead.
Ordinarily, I wouldn't give it a second thought. Just into the crank. But I don't know, Kent. I swear I don't know. Well, what's the time now?
4:05? Don't keep thinking about the time, Mr. White.
Confound it! What else can I think of? 2 hours more and we may get blown to glory. What do you think?
About the yellow mask?
Can he do what he says?
Well, let's hope he can't, Mr. White.
Yeah, but you're afraid he can. And the devil of it is, so am I. Well, if it hadn't been for that business
maybe
out
maybe you ought to empty the building.
No, no. You want us to be the laughingstock of the city? Suppose nothing happens.
On the other hand, suppose something does.
Well, he can't intimidate me. If the yellow mask means business, he'll find us right here at 6 o'clock. City room, White.
Mr. White, this is Dr. Dahlgren speaking.
Yes, yes, Dr. Dahlgren. One of our best people's on the way to your laboratory right this minute.
No, that's not why I call. I wanted to tell you...
Yes, yes.
The man that stole my atomic beam machine mentioned a newspaper. He said...
Yes, what did he say?
He said something about destroying a newspaper.
What's that again? Listen, doctor. Doctor? Hello? Hello, Dahlgren. Hello?
Yes, Mr. White.
I was cut off. Give me Dr. Dahlgren at her laboratory, quick.
Sorry, Mr. White, I'll call you.
We were cut off.
No, she was cut off, I'm sure of it.
You heard all that?
Mr. White, that scientist, what was she working on?
I don't know, some kind of gadget to release atomic force.
A machine?
I imagine so, why?
Don't you see, Mr. White, there's our lead. The man who broke in and robbed her was the yellow mask.
Kent, I think you're right. Dahlgren just said the burglar mentioned destroying a newspaper.
Then I must be right. Now, look here. We've searched the building and haven't found a thing. No packages, no wires. If the Daily Planet is going to be blown up, it's got to be done outside. Maybe up a... That airplane.
Airplane?
It was flying too low for a transport, Mr. White. That plane was spying out the lay of the land. And at 6 o'clock, with Dr. Dahlgren's machine, they'll come back again and we...
Hello, Dahlgren?
I'm sorry, Mr. White. Dr. Dahlgren's telephone is out of order.
Kent, did you hear that? Dahlgren's line is dead.
Cut. That settles it, Chief. I'll be seeing you later.
Kent, where are you going?
After Miss Lane. Something's wrong at Dahlgren's. If it's the mask, well, there's not much time to stop him. So long.
Hey, kid, what's your hurry?
Yeah, I got another front page scoop, Kent.
Oh, thank heaven. The locker room's empty. Quickly now.
Out of these clothes. It's Superman's turn now. Oh, someone's coming. The window. Out. End up. Not much time left. Got to find Miss Lane. Find out what's happened at Dahlgren's and stop the yellow mask. Higher we go. Higher. And faster! Faster! Faster!
Deadly peril hangs over the offices of the Daily Planet. Already the Yellow Mask is in possession of a mighty and terrible weapon. Time is growing short, but Superman is on the way. Powerful form streaking through the night sky. Red cape whistling in the wind.
Can he arrive in time? And what new, unforeseen danger is already creeping in on the laboratory of Dr. Dahlgren with Lois Lane about to enter all unknowing? Tune in next time and follow the story. Remember, be with us again for the next startling transcribed installment of Superman.
Up in the sky, look!
It's a bird!
It's a plane!
It's Superman!
Boy, I sure can't wait to hear the next episode. But we're about out of time for tonight. But before we go, it's time to take out your secret decoders and see who figured out the secret message. Any of you kids got it out there? What is it? Go ahead. That's right! Woohoo! Yay! The secret message is you heard it here first. And that just happens to be the name of the next show we'll be doing here on June 5th and 6th. It'll be a show of original scripts from the winners of the script writing contest. How exciting! So you can be sure to tune in so you can say, I heard it here first. Thanks for coming, boys and girls. I sure hope you enjoyed Return of the Superheroes with me, Captain Bandicoot, a.k.a. Mr. Mysterium. Bye for now, and remember to be as busy as a beaver, wise as an owl, and handy as a bandicoot.
Wait a minute. We still have a few more minutes of airtime. What about the credits?
I can't do the credits.
Why not?
I don't have a program. I'm going to let this nice gentleman over here read the credits while I go shake hands.
Whatever you say, Captain Bandicoot. Who's doing the credits?
The Amazing Interplanetary Adventures of Flash Gordon was first broadcast on April 27, 1935. The Mutual Broadcasting System's production of The Shadow was first broadcast on June 26, 1938. And the Mutual production of Superman was first broadcast on February 26, 1940. This has been a production of the On the Air Radio Players, and is sponsored by the Henrico County Division of Recreation and Parks. The voices and sound effects artists for tonight's show were Joseph Bishop, Catherine Ann Bishop, Corey Hull, Craig Keaton, Emma Mason, Jim Meissner, Jack Mooney, James Nygren, Eric O'Brien, Robert O'Scanion, Lois Purley, Woody Robertson, Caitlin Sinclair, Lynn West. Music was provided by Elaine Hoffler. Sound booth operator and technical editor was Devin Langston. Additional script material was written by Margie Langston. This show was directed by Terry Menefee-Gow, and the production manager was Dale Leopold. Visit our website, www.otarp.com, for information on upcoming shows and auditions. This is your announcer, Jack Mooney, saying goodnight, everybody, and happy listening.